What if this were your last week to live? You know, one week to say everything that you needed to say to your spouse or partner, to your children, to your family, to your friends. What if you had to condense the rest of your life into one short week? What would you say? What would you do? How would you live your life? Today is Palm Sunday, and it's the beginning of Jesus' last week on this earth plane. And as he entered into this week, he knew what was ahead of him. And he knew that he had only a few short days to let his disciples know exactly what it is he wanted them to remember. And he knew that if they didn't grasp this message, that these teachings might be lost forever. Richard Alpert was a faculty member at Harvard, and he spent a lot of time experimenting with various mind-altering states of consciousness until he left Harvard in search of something more. And he spent quite a lot of time in India, and he actually gained a higher sense of consciousness, a higher consciousness, and he also got a new name, Ram Dass. And Ram Dass wrote many books. One of my favorites and one of his best known one is Be Here Now, which he wrote, do you believe, in 1978? And not too long ago, he wrote another book, kind of a sequel, Still Here. But he wrote that after a debilitating stroke. But why I bring him up is that Ram Dass was once asked, what would you do if you knew the world was going to end in 5 minutes? And Ram Dass said, I would get centered, I'd open my heart to life, and I would get involved in my own life's unfoldment. And then he was asked, okay, well, then, if you knew you had another 100 years to live, what would you do? And Ram Dass answered, I would get centered, I would open my heart to life, and I would be involved in my own life's unfoldment. And I believe that that's what happened to Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He was centered. He was open, wide open to life. And he was also ready to fully participate in his own life's unfoldment. Even though he knew what was going on, it didn't deter him from moving forward. Now, what about you? If you knew what was going to happen, like Jesus knew what was going to happen, most of us probably would say, oh, forget it, not me, I'm not doing that. You know, he meant it for her, you know, but not me. You want me to do what? You know, Jesus rode in. How could he ride into Jerusalem when he knew those very people who were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise him in the name of the Lord, would in a few short days be yelling, crucify him, crucify him. You know, I believe Jesus was able to ride in to Jerusalem in this last week of his life because he truly knew that he was divinely protected and guided in every moment. He knew who he was, and he knew his life's purpose. You know, remember, you know, it's not what happens to you. It's how you react to it that makes all the difference. You know, it's how you deal with the situations in life that create your state of mind. So we can move through our times, you know, freaking out, or we can, you know, open ourselves wide open to the opportunities life has for us. You know, we can say, yeah, I'm going for the wonder, the surprise, and the awe of life. Or we can cry and say, oh, why me? You know, it's not fair. You want me to do what? I've identified 3 steps that I feel we can take in moving from our challenges in life over to the newness that wants to emerge from within us. 3 steps that I'd like to look at in the context of Holy Week and see how it is that Jesus moved through this week and how he actually got through it. But before that, I want to take a moment and just share with you how Charles Fillmore, who's a co-founder of Unity, how he describes Jerusalem in Unity's Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Because I think it's important for you to know why it was that Jesus had to enter Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not just a city in the Middle East. Jerusalem metaphysically, which is how we look at the Bible in Unity, metaphysically, it symbolizes within us the habitation of peace. So Jerusalem, the habitation of peace, or the expression of peace, the potential of peace, the possession of peace, the vision of peace within us. And so Charles Fillmore writes in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary that in humankind it is the abiding consciousness of spiritual peace, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem symbolizes that great nerve just behind and in back of the heart. And from this point, spirit sends its radiance to all parts of the body and then out to your world. So Jerusalem, that incredible place of peace. Now, with the dizzying fastness and craziness of the world around us, don't you sometimes wish you had a handbook of higher consciousness? Wouldn't it be helpful? You could just open it up and okay. Well, we do. We do. All of the major spiritual traditions have it. You can find it in the Bhagavad Gita. You can find it in the Tao Te Ching, in the Holy Bible. Fundamental Christians, though, look at the Bible, B-I-B-L-E, as basic instructions before leaving Earth. Which means that, you know, we're learning about the afterlife, you know, because we want to learn how to get to heaven, you know, and it's all about experiencing it in the afterlife. But in Unity, we look at the Bible a little differently. The B-I-B-L-E is basic instructions before learning enlightenment. Basic instructions before learning enlightenment. And so in the Bible, the basic instructions before learning enlightenment, we're learning about the fact that it's heaven right here. We're learning how to live in heaven right here, right now, in this present moment. And in this basic instruction before learning enlightenment, we are given the steps that we can take to be an instrument of this peace, bringing it into our world. These are steps that Jesus took, and these are steps that we can take too. And so let's look at these three steps. The first step is expect your greater good. Expect it. Because it's here. That's why Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Jesus rode into this habitation of peace, this place of peace. And we have to do that too. Jesus understood. He had to bring forth this place of peace within himself in order to fulfill his divine destiny. And so we too, we've got to awaken this place of peace within ourselves. As Jesus was talking to some of the religious officials, he said, destroy this temple, and I'll build it up in 3 days again. They thought he was talking about the physical building. He's talking about the body temple. He says, destroy this flesh. This is not who I am. Destroy this flesh, but you can never, ever, ever touch the divine essence of who I am. Isn't that a great lesson? What a great thing to know. That no matter what's going on out there, you cannot touch who I am. Yeah, if we know that in every cell of our being, what peace that would bring. And Jesus also, during that last week, he went into the temple. He turned a few tables. He got angry. He got mad. He chased out the money changers. Well, metaphysically, the money changers in us are those greedy, negative thoughts. So, yeah, we got to do a little house cleaning. We got to clean out some of that stinking thinking. We've got to cleanse and purify our consciousness so that we can bring forth a peaceful state of mind. Now, Eric Butterworth, one of my favorite Unity authors, he's a Unity minister and writer of lots of books. He wrote this little book, Life is for Living, and this is my book of the month for April. And I loved it because it You know, it's a butterfly, resurrection, Easter, new life, new living. And in this book, he tells us how to be at peace in the midst of turmoil, how to stay positive all day long. And he has this little practice that he calls 10 golden minutes. I love it. 10 golden minutes. He has a whole chapter in the book on 10 golden minutes. And what he says is take 5 minutes when you first wake up in the morning and 5 minutes before you go to sleep at night and sort of do a review. You know, realize your oneness with God. Radiate love. Give thanks for another day. See your day going really smoothly. Picture it. Play it out. See it going exactly as you want it to go. And be grateful. Just be absolutely grateful for everything that happened that day and all the people that came into your life. It's a great way to just, you know, be and just send that love and light. Send that love and peace. See only love and peace. You know, expect your greater good. You know, get ready for it because it's here. Second step is claim your greater good. Claim it. Name it. Claim it. Jesus did that when the religious officials asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the living God?" Jesus immediately, without hesitation, said, "I am. I am." He identified himself as the Christ. He acknowledged his divine essence. He knew the inner power that was within him, and we've got to do the same. We must do that too. Name it and claim it. Now, we can look around our lives, you know, and even though Jesus said, "You're the light of the world," when you radiate that light, you are blessing the world when you live from that essence. But sometimes we can look around our life, and it doesn't look like heaven, does it? There are some moments that we glimpse heaven, and there's some moments we lose it, right? But when we're losing it, you know, we need to look within ourselves and we need to ask, what's missing in me? What is missing in me that I am not experiencing peace in this moment? I have a little exercise I'd like to share with you that will help you find the peace and keep it. Would that be helpful? This is an exercise I learned from Gary Simmons, who was my teacher for the Association of Unity Church's peacemaking process. And he would use this little exercise, you know, before he started his training or at the beginning of his training. And I want to share it with you. Just want you to take a moment and think about three people. Just bring to mind three people that you really admire. They can be living or dead. They can be real or fictional, famous or unknown. It could be grandma or grandpa. You know, somebody that you admire them. You look up to them. You respect them. And when you have three people in mind, just place your hand on your heart so I know that you've got it. It's three people that you really respect and admire. And now what I want you to do is take each one individually and ask yourself, what is the quality? What is the essence that I most admire? You know, what is it that you admire most about each of these people? How do they bless your life? You know, what do you respect about them? So each person, bring them to mind and identify a quality. And when you've got three people and a quality for each person, have your hand on your heart so I know you're done. Now for me, it's love, peace, and courage. Those are the three qualities that come to mind from the people that I have in my mind is peace, love, and courage. And so what I want you to do is just for a moment, turn to somebody next to you or near you, and it'll just take a second because it's just three words. And just share, each of you share with each other the three words, the three qualities that came to you. So let's just do that for a minute now. Okay. What I want you to know is what those three words that you just said, that's what you've come here to be. That's what you've come here to be. For me, it's love, peace, courage. Whatever the qualities is, because what I know is that when we're embodying these qualities, when we're living from our true essence, no matter what's going on around us, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because there's a calm peace in your soul when you're living from your true essence. And that's what Jesus taught, isn't it? That somebody can say something really rude to you, but when you're in that essence, there's a calm peace in your soul they cannot touch. And you can listen, you can be present, but you will remain at peace. A beautiful place to be. And so this week, as you go through your week, what I want you to do is remember these three people that you admire and the qualities. And what I want you to do is start being those qualities. Step into those qualities as yours, as you own them, own those qualities. Because that's what you've come here to be. Now, if you want a really accelerated course in transformation, I would ask you to also take a look at three people who really tick you off. And then look at the qualities that you are so sure they have. And be willing to change those qualities that are also in you. You could not see them in another person unless you had them too. They tick you off because they remind you of the work that you have to do. Isn't that great? So you thank these people. You thank them for ticking you off. Because that's your growing edge. That's your growing edge. Is it worth living in peace? You bet it is. You bet it is. And so we expect our greater good. We claim our greater good. And the third and final step is you... open the way to your greater good. You open the way to your greater good. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he had mastered almost everything that a human being could master. He had brought the divine into form. And yet the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the Roman legal system, they tried to set him up. They tried to trick him. They tried to get him. But they couldn't. And they said to Jesus, okay, where is your allegiance? Is it to Caesar or to God? They knew they had him. But Jesus, without missing a beat, he said, give me one of your coins. And he looked at the coin that was the head of Caesar on it, and he said, give to Caesar, render unto Caesar what Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. You know, when you are attuned to spirit, when you are absolutely living, you know, from your divine essence, when you're open to your greater good, then what you need to know, what you need to say, will be revealed to you in the perfect way. And I love that silent unity affirmation. What I need to know, what I need to say, will be revealed to me in the perfect way. And so, you know, Jesus experienced these glitches during his last week on earth, these challenges. Do you suppose that sometime this week you may run into someone who gets in your face? You know, and when that happens, what I want you to ask yourself is, am I being what I came here to be? Am I being what I came here to be? Remember those people. Remember those qualities that you admire most about the people you admire. And those are the qualities you want to start really being. And don't limit yourself to three. I did that just because of time purposes. You know, but go home and make a list of all the people you admire. Make a list of all the qualities that you respect in them. And take a look at that list. That's what you've come here to be, because you couldn't see that in them unless it was also in you. And so be willing to step, but I mean, when you get your list, though, you've got to be willing to say, you know, am I being loving? Am I being peaceful? Am I being wise? And if you're being that, then you'll be at peace. You'll be at peace. And so here we are entering into Christianity's most sacred week. It's a walk that Jesus took that we too must take. We must expect your greater good, claim your greater good, and open the way to your greater good. Because when you know who you are, when you're living from that divine essence, when you're living from your true self, then, you know, you won't have to ask the question, you want me to do what? No, because you will be centered, you will have your heart open to life, and you will be participating fully in your own life's unfoldment. And then we will be learning how to stand firm and say, here I am. Here I am. And so may this week be a very holy and blessed week for you. Join me Friday night at our Spiritual Communion Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday, as we step into, on Easter Sunday, as we step into the resurrection experience. So have a great and wonderful week. God bless.